Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Live from Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, Westchester Talk Radio presents Talking Real Estate with host Leah Carroll. We're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Hightower, Westchester, White Plains Hospital, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Robeson, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
That's right, Matt Cahan. Don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store of Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Shark Creative. And now, here's your host, Leah Carroll.
Thanks, Jim. Welcome to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I, of course, am Leah Caro, president and principal broker here at Park Sterling Realty, headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Putnam, Westchester, and Bronx counties. This is our sixth installment. If you missed the first five, you can always get them at westchestertalkradio.com or download the app at the iTunes store. So today, very excited, David Singer, president of Robeson, is here with me. And if you know me, maybe you don't, I've been in this business 26 years, so Robeson is a name I've been hearing for at least that long. And I know that me and a lot of folks might associate Robeson with home heating oil. But we're here to tell you today that they are that and a thousand things more. So welcome to Talking
Thank
Real Estate
you.
Through Leah Caro.
Thank you, Leah. Great being here. Exciting.
Yeah. So here we are. It's June 27th. They're calling for a heat wave, I think, beginning tomorrow, and which gets me, at least at my house, thinking about air conditioning, as I'm sure a lot of you folks listening are. So let's start with air conditioning. Well, first of all, why don't you tell us about Robeson, a little quick history, and then we'll launch from there.
All right, great. Well, you know, Robeson, as you mentioned, has been around in Westchester County. I think we're getting up close to 100 years now.
You look good.
And, yeah, thanks. I've only been there for a few. But, you know, third-generation family business, and we've expanded, you know, obviously back in the 50s and 60s when oil heat was predominantly the only heat available in Westchester. You know, we're 100% oil heat, and over the last, you know, 30 years, as the homes evolved into other forms of energy and other needs, we've evolved with our customers, and we just try to add services as the years go by that meet the needs of our customers as they kind of present them to us.
Absolutely. Now, I look at your list of services, and I want to talk about some of these throughout our show, things like biofuel and natural gas and HVAC and carpet cleaning, which struck my fancy. But let's go circle back to air conditioning. So, you know, this is the time of year when I guess we're supposed to have ours serviced. I'm pretty bad about that, so I'm glad you're here today. Talk to us about servicing our AC.
Okay. Air conditioning is, you know, very important part of a house. You know, a lot of people will focus on the cabinets in the kitchen or the faucets in the bathroom, but at the bottom line, the environment and the comfort of the home really depends on the air conditioning system. And air conditioning is historically the number one energy consumer in a house. People think, you know, the refrigerator or the furnace, but the reality is those air conditioning condensers really use the most energy. So that's why electricity prices will generally peak in the summertime, and that's when you're running your air conditioning. So it becomes very expensive. Over the years, you know, being a home comfort company working on the heating systems, we kind of evolved into working in the air conditioning systems as technology has kind of combined those two systems. They really kind of work off the same ductwork. They work off the same air handlers, the same circuitry. So you really can't service one without being proficient in servicing the other. And what we have found is high-efficiency air conditioning equipment needs to be maintained in order to maintain it being high-efficiency. You're buying some expensive equipment that is designed to run at a very efficient level, and if you don't clean it and maintain it and service it, it'll start to, you know, lose its efficiency and cost you money. So I tell my customers for $150 to get an AC tune-up, you'll probably save three times that amount in electricity if your system's running.
Oh, well spent all day long.
All the time.
Describe to me, if you would, what a tune-up entails.
Okay, so basically when you're tuning up an air conditioning system, you have two pieces of the system, right? You have the big thing outside the house, which is the condenser.
For sure, yeah.
And then you have the stuff inside the house, which kind of is the blower up in the attic or in the basement that moves the stuff around. So what we do when we come over is first we start with the outside of the house and we wash down that whole system because you want good airflow. The condenser shouldn't overheat. It's got to cool off. We get good airflow out there. We also check the Freon levels, make sure it's charged. People don't realize that an air conditioning system should never lose Freon. People say, oh, I fill it up with Freon every summer. That's bad. It's a closed system. If you're filling it up with Freon every summer, it's a problem.
There's a leak somewhere.
There's a leak. So we make sure there's no leaks. And then when we're comfortable outside, we move into the house where we're really cleaning. You want to scrub the coil down and get the cooling coil clean, because what happens is there's dust will accumulate on that as it gets moist. From condensation, the dust will settle on that, and it will actually create a thin layer of insulation, as if you wrapped up the pipe in rubber or plastic. So when you clean that off, you're going to get much better cooling, much better efficiency. So we go up there, we clean that out, and then the last thing we like to do is we check for mold, because there's very few air handlers in an attic that don't have mold.
Mm-hmm. And is that mold then being forced through the ducts back out into the air?
It could be. So we like to make sure that we clean that out. And if we do identify any mold, we kill it with the proper chemicals.
Right, and all of that service is for about $150.
$150.
So that it's a no-brainer then.
To me, it is.
Absolutely. Because, you know, at our house, I mean, we have central air. My husband and I, you know, we have that typical fight of what the temperature should be set at.
Of course.
And his is usually somewhere around where you can hang meat, where I tend to like it a little bit more. And we have not yet serviced ours this year, so we're overdue.
Yep.
You talked about a high efficiency system. You know, I've been in my house 13 years. It's the one I was there when I bought it. Is that likely to be high efficiency? Can you talk about what those look like?
Sure. The efficiency levels in air conditioning has been kind of evolving over the last 10, 20 years, and now they've actually made the low efficiency systems unavailable. So what determines efficiency on an air conditioning system is something called a SEER rating, S-E-E-R. And you'll see that on the box when you go buy it. And there used to be 10 and 12 and 13 SEER ratings was normal. Now you can't even buy those. They're too energy inefficient. They're really now 15 up to 20. We don't necessarily, we have customers say, oh, give me a 20 SEER. I want to save as much money as possible. The problem is those units become more expensive as they become more energy efficient. I personally don't always recommend that, because in New York, where we live, we really are only using our air conditioning 4 or 5 months a year. If I lived in Florida and you were running it 24/7, 365, I would invest in a super high efficiency system. Here in New York, that's what, you know, we like to work with our customers and give them what's appropriate. And I would sell them, we like to, you know, an 18, 16 SEER system. Meets all the requirements for efficiency, but you're not overpaying for something you probably don't need.
And that's really admirable. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So when you get a high efficiency system, does that replace both that thing outside and the thing in the attic?
It does. You upgrade both.
Excellent.
You do.
Good to know.
Yep.
So, you know, air conditioning is, you know, very apropos for the season we're entering. And it feels like home heating must be 6 months away, right?
Yeah.
But it's not too early to start thinking about if you wanted to do a conversion, or what some alternatives might be. And I know that you guys do all of those things. So I don't know where you want to start, but should we start with biofuel maybe?
Yeah, sure. Well, that's a great place to start, because, I mean, today a lot of people convert for economic reasons. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, there was a huge difference between the price of oil and natural gas. Today, there's not so much of a difference. So the economic motivators have kind of slowed down a little bit. Now people are doing it more for either environmental concern, or their oil tank, or just, you know, they're buying something new and they're just getting the newest technology, and they figure, why go with oil? I might as well start with natural gas. So we do a lot of natural gas now. I mean, we want to be your energy company. You know, I'm not going to tell you what energy to burn. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I do want to make sure that you use me when you are going to live your life and buy your house. So if natural gas is in the neighborhood and it's readily available, we will easily install that and recommend that. If natural gas...
Well, you know what? I think you're going where I'm about to go. Is that I recently learned something from you that in all my years of real estate, I've never had heard before, which was that natural gas, you could live in a community where every other house has natural gas, but you may not have eligibility to get natural gas because there's a limited number of lines or space. Or can you talk about that? Because that really blew my mind.
Yeah, sure. That's actually a great question, because most people, especially in the real estate community, people will be looking at an oil-fired home, and they'll tell the broker, I'll buy this house if we can convert it to gas. So the broker or the seller will say, yeah, no problem.
Right, that's the thing, no problem.
And then they buy the house, and they find out, big problem. So the gas pipe, and that's why there's still oil and propane and other forms of energy in the marketplace, because gas is not available everywhere. And you have to dig up the street, and you have to dig up the lawn, and you have to do major infrastructure work to create gas. So there's a finite amount of it. So you might be on a block where two homes have gas, and then you think you can get gas, but that pipe really may not be big enough for three homes. And that's why there's still oil on that street. A lot of times that'll happen with an apartment building. If it's kind of a race to the gas pipe. I've seen it where on a cul-de-sac of six or seven houses, the first two or three houses, the first guys that signed up will get the gas, and then the other three can't. And it's really like a race to get there.
So if I'm a buyer working with a realtor, and by the way, if you're working with a realtor, go ask them these questions. But if you're not working with a realtor, call me.
Right.
So, but if you're a buyer and you're looking at homes and they have oil heat and you'd, as a buyer, prefer them to have natural gas, and we were just learning that it's not a gimme that they can have it, and their realtor may say, sure, no problem, but hey, it might be
right.
a problem. What's their steps? Is there something they can just call you up and can you check by address?
Yeah, so, well, there's a little bit more of an analysis than that, but theoretically, you could do it by address. We would go into the Con Edison database, the utility database, and see what the capacity of that area is and if there's plans to increase that capacity. They do publish that. So you might see, oh, they're going to have enough gas for me in 2021, and I got to wait till 2021. But you can see that and you can determine that. Otherwise, we do what's called a load letter, where we go to the home and we assess all the appliances and all the heating equipment that would be running on gas, and we kind of estimate what the usage would be if we removed it from oil and moved it to gas, and then we would go to Con Ed and say, can you accommodate this much more usage? And that's when they'll tell us yes or no.
And historically, how are they about that? Are they say sure? Or?
Well, if it's there, they would love to have you. They just may not be able to accommodate it. So
that was one of the biggest takeaways I got from you folks. And I've met with David and his crew lots of times as a realtor because they do great events for us, and so they keep us in the know. But for me, that was a huge takeaway.
Yeah, we see it all the time, particularly in apartment buildings. We'll have a customer who wants to buy an entire apartment building. They'll figure, oh, this is great, I'll convert it to gas, and then after they buy it, they can't.
Wow, so it really becomes part of the due diligence. Yep. So buyers out there, make sure you took note of that. So if a buyer is okay with an oil heating system, or they can't have gas for some reason, what are their alternatives to regular straight-up home heating oil?
Another good question, Lee. So the alternative today for people that really want to try to go green, you know, there's the perception that natural gas is cleaner than heating oil. Now, there's been improvements with heating oil over the years anyway. All heating oil today is low sulfur. It was mandated in New York State about 3 years ago, and most of the Northeast is following suit. So heating oil as it burns today is really almost as clean as natural gas. It's not like the heating oil that, you know, we remember our father's heating oil.
Right.
This is different. However, they've even improved it one level more, where now they're adding bio. They're adding soy and bio products to the heating oil, and that's reducing the carbon and sulfur output below natural gas. So it's really exciting for our industry and for people that are, you know, stuck. I wouldn't say stuck, but have heating oil. They can now upgrade to biofuel, which is the same price. And
I don't have to change my heating system.
You don't have to change
so
anything.
I'm on oil at home.
Yep.
With Robeson.
Yep. Thank you. Good to know.
So I could change over to biofuel without changing my system.
Right.
And spend the exact same amount of money on the fuel.
Yes.
And save the planet.
Yep. That's
win.
Yeah. So Robeson has really been leading the charge on that. Most of our customers now get at least 10% bio. Many are getting 20%. It's their option. The reason why we don't just give everybody 20% biofuel is some burners, it is a little bit different than heating oil, pure heating oil. So there is some variation in the way it can burn. But our experience, and we stand behind all of it, is it'll burn fine. And if it doesn't, we'll make it right and put you back to regular heating oil if it doesn't work out. But we stand behind it 100%.
That is super fascinating. So we've talked cooling, we've talked heating. I've got 10,000 more things to talk to you about. But I think we're going to take a break. You are listening to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro on Westchester Talk Radio.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester. all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I am Leah Caro, president and principal broker at Park Sterling Realty, headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Westchester, Bronx, and Putnam counties. With me today is David Singer, president of Robeson. I always want to say Robeson Oil. So for those of you who are maybe coming in late, go check out our first segment on westchestertalkradio.com. We spoke about air conditioning, apropos for this season, heating, whether it be gas or oil or biofuel, super exciting stuff, which is just around the corner. And I want to welcome back David and ask him to talk about something I hear a lot about, but I don't have the grasp I should, which is indoor air quality, right? Such a buzzword.
Right. IAQ is what they call it.
IAQ. Let's talk IAQ.
Let's talk IAQ. So obviously, you know, being a home service company, looking for solutions for energy efficient as well as, you know, just cooling and heating, making people comfortable. A big part of this has evolved in the last 20 years with technology, particularly the last 5 or 6, with indoor air quality. The indoor air quality of a house is very important. It really came to the forefront after we started insulating our homes, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Energy prices started rising. People started getting more savvy about insulation and new windows and new doors and new siding and getting energy efficient. Well, every time you button your house down to keep the heat in, you're also keeping the air out. So you need airflow.
And circulation.
You need air circulation. You need it. The combustion equipment, the heating equipment in the house needs airflow. But more importantly, people need airflow, and the airflow has to be clean. Because you're trapping in the air in the house, you're recirculating it through your heating or cooling system, and if you're not introducing fresh, clean air into the home, you're just recirculating dirty air. What we also find is that there is a lot of debris and what we call organic, volatile organic compounds. Another
sounds
big word,
yeah.
VOCs. So your VOCs can affect your IAQ. You understand that?
I'm with you.
Okay, you're with me on that.
I'm with you.
So we go through a home and we look for these things, and technology has really opened my eyes to this. You know, we are historically an oil company, but over the years, as I've learned more and more about this particular part of our industry, I've seen the technology that's available. We have scanners that can measure down to the, you know, multi-million particle, the size, and determine what's in the air and what causes it's having. Could be causing odors, could be causing respiratory problems, it could just be just creating a lot of dust, could also lead ultimately, if the air quality is too humid, it could lead to mold. If the air quality is too dry, it could lead to, you know, cracked floors, damage your artwork, besides dry lips, stuffed nose, and you know, allergies. All these things happen based on the environment inside the house. The more I learn, the more fascinated I am. Humidity control alone, being on the too high end of humidity or too low end of humidity, can have such serious ramifications to a family. I mean, in terms of asthma, allergies, mold. If it's too dry, you'll find that organic compounds like cleaning solutions will stay airborne longer and therefore give you a higher degree of likelihood of ingesting them. If it's too humid, you know, you'll start to get bugs and other, you know, attracting.
Wow, so scary,
yeah.
Stuff. But so how do I, because I love opening the windows when I can.
Yep.
But when it's cold, you got to keep the heat in. And when it's really hot, you got to keep the cooling in. So how do you clean the air? How do you deal with these issues?
Well, so these things have to be carefully measured, and your home environment system, I mean, pictures where it's like almost like living in a fish tank. You know, we have to balance it. The water, you know, if you look at your fish tank and you have a little too much, it it gets too green or it gets, you know, the fish can die. I mean, you have to balance the environment of a fish tank the same way you have to balance the environment in your house. So we measure. We really set up with scientific instruments, and we measure. We measure humidity levels in every room. We measure temperature variations in every room. We measure CO2 and carbon monoxide release and buildup. And all of these things combined will give you a pattern of airflow and air quality. Carpet cleaning. People ask me, how come you guys do carpet cleaning? And I'm like, because if you're going to address the home environment and you're going to address the airflow, the biggest filter in the house is the carpeting. Everything that you walk on, everything that blows in the house settles in the carpeting. If you ever pull out your air filter from the air conditioning system, you see all that stuff in it? That's all in the carpeting.
Wow.
So how do you address a home environment and create a clean, healthy home if you don't address the carpeting?
So you guys do carpet cleaning as well.
So we do carpet cleaning now, because how could I tell you that I cleaned your ductwork and got your system clean and your home environment comfortable and then leave you with dirty carpets? So I got to do it all.
Right. It's, and you know, and the more I'm listening to you, I realize that Robeson is really takes a holistic approach to home care, so that it's really, it's the heating, it's the cooling, it's the house as an entire body and all the systems, like a human body, that it need is. To be taken care of to be healthy.
It is, and it's really a new philosophy in home management as a whole. It's addressed across the whole HVAC industry. I'm just fortunate that Robeson has really taken a lead in that and has really been aggressive in bringing that technology to our customers and that expertise, because it really does exist. And people, I have had customers that have had allergies, children that are suffering from allergies, multiple getting allergy shots, going to specialists. And when we installed the proper air filtration, it ended. I mean, you're talking about giving your children medical shots that they didn't need because we just changed the filter systems.
Now, I don't know that other than air conditioning, I have an air filter system in my house. I'm sure I don't.
You probably have the one that came with the system, which is about a 1-inch thick filter that you may or may not change every season. And, you know, you should look at that. And you could upgrade those things into, there's 5-inch filters, there's electronic filters, there's all kinds of levels of redundancy and efficiency that you can create and make a big difference in the house. You really can.
I'm scared to have you guys over. I'm dying to have you guys over.
But you know what? Don't be scared, because that's the biggest myth of this entire process, is people, when they start talking, oh, indoor air quality, it's going to cost me a fortune. And that is the fun, that makes me laugh the most, because I would have assumed the same thing until I got in this business. These solutions are not expensive. I mean, a carpet cleaning is a couple $100s. Like you mentioned before, an air conditioning tune-up is $150. Right. We could do a full mold remediation. If we spot mold, we can kill it, get it out, and make it never come back for $400, $500, these solutions.
It's
these
are really not preventive medicine.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my human body here.
Exactly. Well, that's what it is.
It's really preventive medicine.
It's preventive medicine and being aware of it. You know, it's kind of like if you don't know you're going to get a cavity if you don't brush your teeth, you don't know to brush your teeth. Once you know that you are increasing the volatile organic compounds in your home by not changing that filter, you're going to change it.
Right, of course. Those darn VOCs.
You don't want those VOCs.
Affecting my IAQ.
Right. So you're right. So these things, as homeowners become aware of it, they see the solutions are not astronomical. They are life-changing solutions. I mean, I have a litany of stories of people really had suffering from allergies, suffering from asthma, odors. You never see that Febreze commercial where, you know, the homeowner thinks the house smells great and the neighbor walks in and it smells like a dumpster. You know, that is part of all of this. And we've eliminated odors. I mean, I walk into homes with multiple pets and they think everything's fine and it's not fine. And then we upgrade the filtration systems. We create a better airflow. We put in better motors that run 24/7. A lot of people have air filters on their air conditioning systems, and they think they're filtering the air. But what happens when the AC's not on?
Right.
Which is 18 or 19 hours
correct.
Of the day that it's not on, and you think you're filtering your air.
This is so important. I'm thinking, you know, as everybody's out there is listening, this is all such important information, yeah. And it's life-changing, as you say.
It is, and there's no buyer's remorse. I mean, you can buy yourself a dress or take, you know, buy yourself a ring or something, and you may, did I really need that? Ugh, maybe I shouldn't have.
Yes, you did.
But, yeah, I think you should treat yourself to you deserve everything you
there
get,
you go.
But sometimes you might have buyer's remorse.
Sure.
I've never had someone after a carpet cleaning or an air duct cleaning tell me I wish I didn't do it.
Right.
In fact, they usually are, when are you coming back?
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, I want to, in a little bit later, we're going to talk about what maybe home sellers can do to improve their saleability, and I'm going to come back and visit that. But, you know, you were talking about something else that made me think about the season, and I think June 1st was the start of hurricane season, right? And it goes to December 1st, is that right? I think it's a crazy long season.
August through October is when it hits the fan.
Right, and this year they're talking about a significant hurricane season, you know, right. The meteorologists
sure.
out there.
La Nina or El Nino some Nina is coming.
That, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Generators. You folks do generators.
We do, and again, we never installed a generator ever in 80 years of Robeson history until Hurricane Sandy. And then every single customer wanted one yesterday.
Right.
So we learned how to install generators very quickly. We've got certified with Generac. We brought in a team of experts to teach our techs how to service and maintain them, and within 9 months, we were generator experts. And now we're installing hundreds of generators. And it's... north of 287, it's a real issue because the trees are hanging over the lines. If you live I'm from Bedford, and for those of us north of 287, it's a jungle. I mean, the trees come down. Every storm, there's a blackout in my neighborhood. So the generators are becoming more and more prevalent, and we've learned how to install them and maintain them. And one of the things that we've learned in that process, which I want to introduce to your listeners, is the generator runs on hours. Okay, that's how you think of a generator, because it doesn't run all the time, and it doesn't only runs when there's a blackout, and if the power comes back on in 3 hours, it goes off again.
Right.
So the world of generator maintenance is you're looking at hours of operation. How many hours did my generator run this year?
Like a boat motor.
Like a boat motor. The boaters, see, that's exactly right, because you never know where you're going. You're just not
right.
going anywhere.
It's not
anywhere,
miles right? on your engine.
You're
it's hours on your engine.
Correct. So generator is exactly like that. So you want to, how many hours did my generator run this season? Some seasons it may run for 2 hours. Some seasons, you know, last summer and certainly during Sandy, it could be 3 weeks. So that's when you have to be aware of the maintenance schedule. The manufacturers will actually void the guarantee on the unit if you exceed 150 hours of operation without maintenance.
Wow. And that's so what is this is going to sound like a really silly question.
Mm-hmm.
What fuels the generator?
Okay, so a generator runs like any combustible equipment. It could run on diesel fuel. It could run on heating oil. It could run on propane. And it could run on natural gas. Natural gas is good because, you know, if the power's down, you got a constant supply. Those of us that have generators on propane or on oil, you need to get that thing filled up, you know, as the generator's running. Now, when you're running, this happened during Sandy, and we learned a lot of lessons. People that have whole home generators, they think when that thing goes on, you're good. And you don't have to worry about anything, and the power will come back, you'll be fine. So you got all the kids playing PlayStation, you got all the TVs running, and you're living life like it's perfectly normal. And guess what? In 24 hours, you're out of propane.
Right, right. Food for thought. Exactly.
So when we like to teach the homeowners, when you go into generator mode, when that generator kicks on, it's not business. You can't just run your family on your generator. You got to go through and you got to turn down all the unessential.
It's crisis mode. You got to get the refrigerator. Exterior lights.
Well, now, some homes taking the kids off the PlayStation is a bigger crisis than other things. You know, some, you might opt to keep them on the PlayStation and shut off the refrigerator
to keep
the peace. But you do have to go into like generator mode.
Right.
And start thinking about what I don't need, because if you are running it on propane or oil, you're going to run out.
Right. Now, you said whole house generator, but I could have a generator that doesn't do my whole house, and that would be kind of forced control. Is that right?
Well, that's right, and that's how you size a generator. So when we go to – someone calls in and say, I want a generator. I say, all right, well, what do you want to power? Do you want to power just the heat in the refrigerator so that your food doesn't go bad and you can stay in the house? Do you want to power just the lights in the hallways? No, I want to power up everything. Well, that's going to be a giant generator. So you scaled down. Well, okay, that's going to be $25,000. Maybe I don't need the place.
Maybe the PlayStation's not that important.
Maybe we don't need the home theater while the blackout's on. And you start scaling it back. And generally, you'll come down to about 15 kW, which is a nice size generator. It'll fire up your bedrooms. It'll keep your heat going and keep all your food fresh. Whether you're going to get a system big enough to power up your air conditioning, that's bigger. That, I would say, if you want to control costs, don't get one that's going to power your air conditioning. Some people got to have their air conditioning, so that, but that's your biggest load. So that's where, you know, when you're budgeting out your budget and you call us to, for an assessment on whether you should get a generator and what type, it starts with what are your needs.
Right. Now, and generators will also fuel sump pumps. Correct?
Correct.
Because I know that there's a big concern that when you have a sump pump that's generated by electricity, when the power goes out, there goes your sump pump.
And it's usually because of a hurricane
or flooding, or after some crazy storm.
Right.
So I think it would be important to think about that as well.
Correct. So we would start, what we do is we start from the basement up. So we take the generator and we say, okay, we're going to size this generator. How big's the heating unit? We need to fire that up. I see a sump pump. If your bathroom is like my basement bathroom, it has an ejector pump to get the sewage up and out, so you want to get that thing running.
Yeah, definitely get that running.
You know, so you start to go through, that's how you do it. You start to just check off, this has to go on, this has to go on, this doesn't have to go on, this can go on maybe, you know, and then you build your load, then you evaluate the KWs, kilowatts that you want to buy. And when you go shopping, you're going to see it's going to be a 15, a 10, a 7,
KW. And do you guys supply the actual generators as well? I don't have to go shopping for one, right?
Right. We install them. We get all the permitting. And there's a lot of rules around generators.
I was just going to ask about the permitting, because we do talk to home sellers with generators that did it without a permit. It becomes a big headache.
It's a big headache. And it's the same thing as we talked earlier about the gas conversion. A lot of times a homeowner, I'll buy this house. Can I get a generator? Yeah, no problem, generator. Then all of a sudden you find out if you're in Scarsdale or Hartsdale or Bronxville that you don't have enough setback from your neighbor for the decibel level of the generator. There's rules on decibel levels.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And you then may have to, I'm so close to this house, I have to buy this $2,000 more generator because it's quieter.
Of course, you could always tell the neighbors, you'll always invite them over.
For movie night during
the blackout.
Exactly. That might help.
But that is another consideration that I think a lot of us don't realize.
All that has
that
to be...
decibel levels associated.
That's why, you know, you really need a professional. A friend of mine was just telling me the other day, somebody sold him a hot water heater it's not around here, so he didn't use me. But they sold him a 40-gallon hot water heater for his lake house. And I looked at him, I said, you know, as soon as he told me, I said, you're never going to be happy with a 40-gallon what are you going to do with a 40-gallon hot water heater? And sure enough, 2 weeks later, they ran out of hot water, and they had to call the guy back and do an 80-gallon. So, you know, these things, it's penny-wise and pound-foolish in some instances, but also you don't know who to trust, who to believe. You know, somebody will tell you, oh, you'll be fine with 40 gallons because they were the low bidder and they want your business. So they'll say, yeah, you can definitely do, you know, my bid's cheapest, use me. But they're not really thinking about, you know, when you do business with me at Robeson, I have to be with you for the next 20 years that you're in that house.
For sure.
So if I sell you a 40-gallon hot water heater when you needed an 80, I'm going to hear about it more than you are going to, you know, I'm going to hear about it as much as you're going to hear about it.
Stellar reputation, you know, and in the world of social media and Yelp and all of those things, it really does pay to work with a company that is so founded and so professional and so innovative.
And we also look, you know, our average relationship is 10 to 12 years with our customers. So, you know, the quick fix or the quick hit is not it doesn't work for us. We have to do things that you're going to be happy with over the long term. Otherwise, we lose you.
Yeah. So we're talking customer loyalty with David Singer of Robeson, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk some more.
Thank you. It's
Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. Stay tuned.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I am Leah Caro, president at Park Sterling Realty, located in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. We are talking with David Singer, president of Robeson, who has been just filling my head with things to think about regarding air conditioning and heating. And when we just took our break, we had been talking about generators, whole house generators or, you know, part house generators, and what to do with them and how to get them, do all sorts of stuff. And while we were on break, I said to David, is it hard to get a generator right now? Because I know after Sandy, it was like a 2-year backlog.
Yeah, it's a good question, because today, as we sit here, it is not hard to get a generator because there's no hurricanes, there's been no storms and no blackouts. If there's about one hurricane, one storm, one blackout, it's going to be hard to get a generator. And that's how it always works. Even at our office, you know, customers will get a steady trickle of people that want generators. But then as soon as the first, you know, hurricane hits, everybody wants one. Then all of a sudden, they, you know, we come out, we show them what's involved in it, and then they get, some people, you know, get less enthusiastic because it's a commitment.
So the takeaway, though, for me, it sounds like, is the time to get a generator is when there is not a storm.
Yes.
So
it's now
hurricane season is underway.
When it's calm and
the calm before the storm.
Correct, because that's when the electricians need your work, as opposed to you need them. They need you now, as opposed to when the blackouts come and you need them. So plan ahead. Put it on your calendar. Put it in your budget. If you're not going to do it this summer, do it next summer. But do it when it's the off season, before the hurricanes, when electricians and people like Robeson are looking for work in the spring. That's when you'll get
that's
your best
great
deal.
Advice. And I think that's a huge takeaway for today.
Yep.
I'm going to go home and talk to my husband about a generator. So I want to, you know, finish up, I think, our segment with what a seller or someone who maybe even is thinking of selling their house should or could do with your services to make their house more saleable.
That's a really interesting question, because, you know, you as a real estate professional know that for years, you know, the stereotype was, you know, fix up the front yard, fix up the front stoop, you know, curb appeal, right? And that's important. Curb appeal, you know, of course you can't sell a house if it doesn't look nice. But the reality is people shop intellectually, but then they'll buy emotionally. And when they walk into a house and it smells, or it looks dingy, or it looks unsanitary, that's going to freak them out a lot more than anything else, because you can change the bathroom faucets. Everybody knows they're going to come in and they're going to gut the bathroom, or they're going to make the kitchen their own, and that's in their mind already. But when a house has a bad environment, has bad indoor air quality, it matters. I was on a sales call in a very beautiful home in Katona. Someone had brought me along to help them look at the house. And when they walked in, the first thing, it was a beautiful home, the first thing the wife said to the husband was, this house smells like my grandmother's apartment.
Mm.
And after that, they couldn't, the beautiful backyard, the trees, the plantings, none of that made any difference at all, because she didn't want to live in a house that smells like her grandmother's apartment.
Understandable. But so then what could you guys do for the seller to help?
In that particular instance, and this is the one that really convinced me that this is a real product for us to have, and this is a real concern for sellers to have, is we started then saying, why does this house smell? It's a nice home. There were no pets. Usually you can trace it back to the pets.
For sure.
And you can trace it from the pets into the carpet. So then a carpet cleaning, a duct cleaning, get the pet dander out of the house, usually gets that under control. So first thing I would say, if you're selling a house and you have pets, you must get a carpet cleaning and a duct cleaning. You must, because even people that aren't selling a house that have pets that have had duct cleaning, carpet cleanings, they want them every 6 months after that.
Right. And
it's an environment changer.
We love our pets, but...
Yeah, but when you're walking on brand new, nice, fluffy, clean carpets and the house smells clean, Then you bring a buyer into that house, for even just your friends on your own house. But if you're selling, I've never seen a, you can see the face of the buyers when the house smells good and when it doesn't smell good. And don't, and a lot of brokers, I've been through this, think if they light the candles all over the house.
The Baker Pie in the oven.
Yeah, you know, I've been in homes that are being shown and you see the scented candles burning all over the house, but then I go back into that mudroom and I see the kitty litter box or I see the dog stains
on
the rug.
Or you get worse is you get a house that still smells bad and of Macintosh apple.
Right, right, exactly. That the apple scent didn't even cover it. No, and you've got homes like that as a real estate person. Professional, how many homes have you walked into where you get hit with an odor?
Right, and you know, as I'm thinking in the real estate side of this, you know, we consult with our sellers and we give them all these chores to do before they bring their house to market so that it's saleable, right? And that the buyers will like it. And that's something we tend to leave off, is it should be just part of the checklist to get you guys in to get that done.
I don't know if it ingratiates you with people to go in their home and tell them it smells.
Well, but you know what? I would argue that probably every house could benefit from this service, if we don't walk in and go, ew.
Look, you know, you go to the doctor, if you're overweight, you don't want him to tell you you look great. You want him to tell you you're overweight. You know, you got to do something with yourself. That's what his job is. I'm going to tell you the truth. Sorry. But if we walk in your home, if you call us up, or we work with real estate brokers in particular, and you say, look, I'm thinking of showing this house. I'm thinking of selling my house. Can you send a guy over? Just let me know what's going on. We come in and we'll look at the systems. We'll do our air analysis. We'll look at the systems. We'll look for mold. We'll look for the things that the home decorator doesn't look for.
Right, the stager.
Right, the stager doesn't look for that. And the seller might come in and see all the beautiful staging and get excited and call their, you know, their spouse to come in and look at the house with them. Right, they're going to get, oh, the house looks great. But then guess what's going to happen after that? They're going to bring the engineer.
Right.
And he's going to start seeing the mold, and he's going to start seeing this and that, and all these little things that we could have nipped before he showed up.
Then they're going to come back and try to renegotiate.
Right. Let you go up to someone's attic, and all the ductwork is wrapped and tight. There's not holes in it, and it looks nice. Or you go into the basement, and all the pipes are wrapped, and they look nice. Or they're not crooked, and they're straight. These things you don't think make the big difference, but I know when I looked at my house, my wife was looking at the kitchen tile. I was looking at the pipes, you know, and those mattered to me. So
yes, and so I think a seller should, you know, would really benefit from having you folks in at the very least carpet cleaning. I mean, that sounds good to your point, and I love this expression. It's the biggest filter in your home.
Yeah.
Is the carpet. So carpet cleaning, boom, number one thing to do.
Duct cleaning, because the odors are up in there.
Right.
Any visible mold, zap it. Let's get it out of there.
An air quality assessment.
Yep.
Oh, and you know, I know you guys can't see what I've seen in the past with David, but he has these gizmos and gadgets, because then that's what I call them. I don't think that's the technical term
for them. That's what I call them, too.
The gizmos and gadgets that are so high-tech, infrared this and that, and those all go to your expertise in getting these things remedied.
Well, that was our commitment. I mean, if you have technology, you know, it's like going back to the doctor. The doctor can squeeze my arm and think it's broken, but I'd much rather have him just take an x-ray and just let me know what I got there. Same thing with us now. We can go into your home. We have scanners that measure, I told you, the volatile organic compounds. So we can, even if you don't smell the odor, I can see the odor on this meter. So you may not smell it, but I know it's floating around. We go into the ductwork with cameras that, again, referring back to the medical fields, and probably a lot of these things came from the medical field, but we have those cameras that are on long hoses, kind of the one you would use for scoping of a patient, and we put those into your ductwork, and we see, hey, it's dirty or it's not dirty. If it's dirty and we got to clean it, you'll feel better. You'll feel better. The dust will go down. The odors will go down. So it's all, we try to base as much of it on science as possible. We really try to give the house a real scientific once over. Some things you got to just do by gut, but most things today we have measurement.
And it's so important, and I love the analogy we've been using throughout the show of the house and the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole holistic approach that Robeson takes to take caring for the house and house management.
Yep, that's it. We really feel it is a system. Multiple systems like a body, and if one of them is off balance, the other ones suffer.
It sure does. Hey, so if folks wanted to reach you, how would they do that?
Well, of course, RobesonOil.com is easy. We also are on Facebook and all that stuff, but you can simply call us. You know, we're in every town. Our numbers are listed. Our main number is 345-5700.
914.
But I think with today, with the internet, you know, I would just go robesonall.com, send in, you know, an information request or something like that, and we get right back to you.
That's great. Because I don't think there's a single person out there who couldn't benefit in some way from
a lot of this information. Yeah, a lot of this information is also on our website, and I would encourage people to, you know, visit the site, learn a little bit about it, and just this way you're more educated when you do want to maybe talk to other vendors. You'll have a better background.
I think that's terrific. So David's got to run because he's got to go save the day for a homeowner. We're going to take a break. I'm going to say goodbye to David. We're going to give a quick shout-out to our new tech over here.
Shout-out to the board op, Harrison Singer, my nephew.
Yeah, it's first time with us, and we're thrilled to have him. So, David, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You brought
thank
a
you.
Lot to the table.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back with Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro.
Give your home or office a facelift. You want to relax outside with a nice glass of wine, but you need to paint the house. You want to hit the links for a round of golf, but you need to paint the house. You both are ready for your vacation, but who will paint the house? Facelifts will. It's time to give your home a new look. They are the professionals to call when your home or business is in need of a paint job. Facelift staffs only highly trained interior and exterior painting specialists. Just select the color you want or use their trained color specialist and let them do the rest. Any size house, indoors or outdoors, they get the job done quickly, professionally, at your convenience and to your satisfaction. Plus, they offer repair work, power washing, carpentry, and generator installation for your home or office. Is your home in need of a facelift? Get to do all the things you want to do by letting Facelifts paint and remodel your home. Easy to deal with, easy to get in touch with. Licensed and fully insured. Call 914-806-8627 or visit faceliftspainting.com.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I, of course, am Leah Caro, president and principal broker at Park Sterling Realty, headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, serving Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. We spent the first bunch of segments of this episode talking to David Singer of Robeson Oil and Other Services. And if you did not get to hear that, please make sure to check out the podcast on WestchesterTalkRadio.com or download Westchester Talk Radio at the iTunes store. So now we're going to do our market update. We went in reverse order this episode, but here we are with the market update. And here's what I can tell you. First, of course, my disclaimers. If you are already working with a realtor, this is not a solicitation for your business. If, however, you are not already working with a realtor, call me, 914-337-1234. Also, every market is different, so we're going to be talking in generalities today. If you need to know more specifically what's happening on your street, in your town, give me a call. So what can I tell you? Inventory is still way down, 10-year low historically for most segments of the market, houses, co-ops, and condos, multifamily houses also, in the under $1 million range, and that's the benchmark we've been using to differentiate between high-end and mid-range, $1 million. So the mid-range, under $1 million, is still a seller's market, going strong. And we are still finding that above $1 million in most markets, it is a buyer's market with some of the best opportunities to buy that we've seen in more than two decades. But let's get back to the seller's market in the mid-range, because I think that's probably where most people in this county are. We're still seeing what we call highest and best situations. And highest and best situations are where a seller has so many interested parties in his or her property and so many people vying to buy it that he or she, through their realtor, will call out an opportunity to come in highest and best, which means you have this kind of one shot to make your best offer on a property in order to hopefully be the prevailing party. And I'm hearing anecdotally stories of houses and other properties that have had 12, 15, 20, 30, 50 offers on them, which is a lot of information to sift through and a lot of buyers competing for those properties. So I'm sitting here today with one of my favorite people. Tina Raymond is a licensed salesperson here at Park Sterling Realty. She's a veteran of the business and really knows her stuff, represents both buyers and sellers, and has recently been dealing with multiple offers on properties. And so she and I got to talking a few minutes ago off air about how a buyer who's competing with one other buyer or 30 other buyers might differentiate him or herself in this wild west of everybody vying for properties. So, hey, first of all, I want to say welcome, Tina.
Thank you.
For coming on the show. We're happy to have you. So I turned to you just a minute ago. Poor Tina didn't know I was dragging her into this, but here we are. So I turned to Tina and I said, you know, help me, give me some pointers. And what do you recommend to buyers that could help them differentiate themselves in a highest and best scenario? And you gave me a bunch of good stuff, but let's start. What do you think?
Well, the truth is it's not always all about the price. I mean, obviously the seller is first looking at the price because everybody wants their property to be worth gazillions of dollars. We always have to watch out for that, particularly when people are doing financing, because there's always the appraisal. And if the bank comes in and doesn't appraise the property where the offer is, guess what? You've got now a different kind of a situation, and you will often have to go and make up that money personally out of your pocket if you want to hold on to that house. So
right, and that's
everybody
important.
Has
like,
to...
It's not just about the price.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, sellers think it is, but so I guess we're here to not just advise buyers, but to tell sellers, pay attention. It may not... Your best offer may not be the highest price.
Yeah.
Right? So what else?
We all need to be a little logical. But
For sure.
But not everybody can afford the big bucks, and we look at it as a whole package, and the package consists of sometimes things just like, I can close whenever you want me to close. I can close as fast as possible. I can close in 3 months if that works for you and your family and your children. That level of flexibility can be a good point in your total package and what you're submitting.
Yeah. So if a seller, and I'm just thinking of a scenario, if buyer A says, we'll give you your list, your asking price, but we have to close on our own calendar schedule, versus somebody who says, you know, I'll give you slightly less than your asking price, but I'm willing to close at your convenience, Mr. Seller, that might be a really big differentiation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's okay. I hope you folks are writing this down, buyers and sellers. So it's not just about the price. Your closing date or your flexibility on a closing date is a big proponent of it, or a big piece of this, right?
Right. Sometimes it's the level of your financing. I mean, the more money you can put down, always, the more valuable you are as a buyer. Somebody that's putting 50% down will beat out somebody who's offering a higher price just because the seller knows you have a stronger bet to get to the closing table.
Because I have, it's easier for me to get financing at the more money I'm putting down?
Yeah.
Probably.
And you'll get through the appraisal. If there is a quirk on the appraisal process, the bank will be more apt to maintain the amount that they've offered on any commitment or pre-approval. They'll be more willing to... see that through, even if the appraisal's a little bit.
Because it's all about
higher.
Risk management for the banks.
Right.
You know, and I was trying to explain this to someone recently, because, you know, I feel bad routinely for the buyers out there who are looking to put down 3% with a VA loan or an FHA loan, because they're eligible to do so. And they get, you know, the seller gets all their money at closing, just like any other financing. And then you have buyers who can put down 30, 40%. And sellers tend to look at them more favorably, and I get it, but that is the key. That's the reason why, because a lot of these buyers who are looking to put down 3 or 5% are feeling really a little beat up, because they don't really get a good shot at a lot of these highest and best. And the reason has nothing to do with the fact that they're getting a VA or an FHA loan. It has to do with if this house should not appraise, the risk management side of the bank that says, is this still a good lend? Is much more likely to give its approval to a mortgage that's as little as 60% or 70%.
Right.
Right,
yeah.
Which is, I think, the important differentiation that people may not get.
Yeah. Yes. Nothing against the buyer. It's strictly what has the best chance of getting through.
Right. So I want to talk real quickly about, I mean, offline we were talking about inspections, and we had just take note, we can never with a clear conscience ever tell a buyer to waive their inspections. Get your home inspector in there and do an inspection. Now, that being said, you had a great idea about some inspection issues that might make someone more viable as a buyer. Go for it.
An experienced realtor will usually be able to go through a house and see some of the glaring issues. There's asbestos on the pipes. There's there you've got some issues with your outlets and your where are the GA, you know, the proper outlets for kitchens and stuff like that. And so often you can go in and say, my client, as part of your offer, my client is aware that there are some issues and they're willing to take care of them. And I've had clients who've done that a number of times. Just, we know, we see these things, we're okay with them. We haven't done our inspection because we don't have an accepted offer yet. But once we do our inspection, we know these things are there, and it's okay.
So it'll be for information purposes only, mostly your inspection, and any big, big dangerous items. And that, other than that, we'll be happy to take care, take those on ourselves. And I bet, you know what, as a seller someday myself, that would really sound good
yeah.
to me.
Because it means you don't have the hassle, you don't have the issues, and just you get to walk out and somebody else is going to take care of them.
Wow. So, yeah. You know, Tina Raymond, again, I'm going to say salesperson here at Park Sterling Realty, has been talking to us about how buyers can help differentiate themselves in those awful highest and best scenarios that we're seeing literally every single day. More money down, flexible closing. I love that one. Being willing to take on some of the remedies that may be found in material defects in the house is another terrific one. So I would remind everybody out there, if you are working with a realtor, give a call to that agent to do what you got to do. But if you're not working with a realtor, call us here at Park Sterling. Ask for Tina Raymond. She does great buyer representation as well as seller representation. Because here's my takeaway, my tagline for the day. Summer is the new spring, and the market is still going strong. So you've been listening to Westchester Talk Radio on Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark.